For the past couple of weeks, we have been looking at the characters, the persons involved in the Christmas story. Each and every one of them had a vital part for the incarnation of the Son of God. And we have been looking, therefore, at them as servants of the Most High God. In each of the character studies that we've done, I've looked at three characteristics of them as a servant. And so far we've covered three of the servants. Tonight's the fourth, Lord willing. Tomorrow morning is the fifth. So if you take 3 times 5, it gets 15. There are 15 qualities of a servant that we have been looking at over this Christmas season. First was Mary, and there were 3 qualities: purity of character, humility of person, and fidelity of service. And we looked at Zacharias, dedicated to personal holiness, devoted to persistent prayer, and desirous of public worship. Last Sunday morning, we looked at Joseph. Said he had a love for the Scriptures, a love for the sinner, and a love for the Savior. Tonight, I want to look at the shepherds in the field. Or, for the purposes of this message, the servants in the field. Their testimony is found in the 2nd chapter of Luke's Gospel, and it reads this way: "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." 3 qualities of the shepherds that I want to illumine tonight, or give emphasis to. The first one is this: they endured through hardships. There they were that Christmas Eve out on the hillside keeping their sheep. They were shepherds. Shepherding was a despised profession. Go back into the book of Genesis when Jacob brought his family down into Egypt because Joseph was there, and he had done his thing and rose up through the ranks. He was now second in command of all the kingdom, and they had food, and Joseph invited them down. But they had to be apart from the people, because shepherds were a despised group of people. They didn't mix in. They didn't fit the culture. Now, throughout the Scriptures, Egypt is a picture of this world system. And a servant of God is, according to this world system, something that is not really desirable. Unfortunately, a servant of God is sometimes not desirable by Christian people. Unfortunately, a number of times I've heard people discouraging others from serving the Lord. Well, what's a shepherd going to make as far as a living goes? You can't make a decent wage doing that. And if you want to have a good job, you can't serve the Lord. Well, I think the Lord has different pay scale than most of the world has. But here are these men, and they were despised, but they endured through that. Not only is shepherding a despised profession, it's a difficult profession. sheep aren't easy to keep. Some animals are fairly easy. You can train them. Like a dog. Dog has a routine and you can teach it to do tricks and stuff and it can cuddle up next to you and it's nice having a dog. Can't say that about cats. I didn't hear any cat lovers booing, so I guess I'm okay. But sheep, I invited that one, didn't I? Sheep aren't easy to keep. First of all, they're not too bright. They have to be watched over all the time. They tend to wander off, sometimes repeatedly. Sometimes they lay down and they can't get up. Sometimes they get, their wool is coated with mud and they get into a condition that's known as being cast down. And it's interesting that David wrote about that in the Psalms when he said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Sheep are not easy to take care of. Consequently, it's a difficult job. And let's face it, who likes a job where you say, "Boy, this is going to be difficult. Isn't that great?" You kind of like the easy stuff. Kind of like the stuff where you can push a button or tell somebody else to do something. That's easy. Shepherding is a demanding profession. It's not a 9-to-5 job. These shepherds were out there 24/7 watching over the sheep. Certainly they worked in shifts so that they could get some sleep of their own, but nonetheless they had to be there and they had to protect the sheep. That sometimes it meant standing against vicious animals like wolves and bears and other things that would desire to kill the sheep. A lot of demands. It was a hardship to be a shepherd. And yet these shepherds were out there. Notice when the angel appeared, they didn't have to wake them up. They were doing their job. Now our one Christmas carol says, on a cold winter night is the angel. Well, we don't know that for absolutely certain, whether it was cold and whether it was winter. The time of Christ's birth is not absolutely certain. It could have been. But nonetheless, they were out there. And they were enduring through the hardships of this. A servant of God endures hardships. Secondly, the shepherds endeavored with haste. When the angel appeared to them and told them of the good news of the birth of Christ, the scripture said, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem." Can you imagine if that had taken place in many places today? I'm going to be honest. Well, I'm going to ask you to make yourself honest tonight. Suppose you were the shepherd out there in the field, and the angel appears to you, and you get talking with the guy. But rest of the shepherds that are out there, would you say, "Let us now go"? Well, you'd say, "Let me look at my date book here. I think I have an opening on Thursday." "Oh, no, wait, kids are coming over then. That's not good. Well, I have a haircut appointment here, and there's this PTA meeting over." And we have so many things going on. There was a priority to their service in their time. Let me ask you, now I understand there are things in the will of God, and the will of God always takes precedence over everything else. And I don't mean to determine what the will of God is in every particular instance. But when God bids you to serve Him in a particular area of service, who comes first? What comes first? The shepherds said, "Let us now go." They put their service for the... By the way, do you realize that that meant that they had to leave the sheep behind? "We better find some." "Well, it's too late to wake up anybody tonight to keep the sheep. We'll go in the morning." Well, he may not have been there. Sometimes the opportunities to serve the Lord are you do it now or you don't do it type of thing. Not only did they have a priority of time, they had a superiority of effort, and they came with haste. They just didn't saunter on into Bethlehem. They came with haste. Don't know exactly how far out of town that they were, but maybe a mile or two. And undoubtedly, they ran that mile or two. Of course, it was downhill. Now, I want you to know, children, when I was a young person, I used to walk to school every day uphill, 2 miles, in the freezing cold of the day, and school was over, I walked uphill back home in the freezing cold. That's a different story. They came with haste. They didn't have transportation. They didn't call a taxi. They didn't have an ATV or anything like that. They ran. And understand, with what they were wearing in those days, running was not necessarily an easy thing to do. They would have had to tie up the robes that they were wearing so that they could run. It took a lot of work to get there. We don't like that lot of work stuff. My wife gave me permission to stop all the cleaning in the house this afternoon to make supper and take her out for another dinner. We're having some soup that was left over from the dinner yesterday. Rather than getting the soup out and putting it in a pot and putting it on the stove, you just put it in the bowl and you put it in the microwave. Well, it's faster. It's a whole lot easier, too. I didn't have to wash the dishes then. We don't like all that work. The shepherds worked with haste. Thirdly, they evangelized with heart. The scripture says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They spoke with focus the word they heard. Some of you know, some of you may not know, that Troy and Annette Petrilla just became parents officially. Yesterday, or was it Thursday? I'm not exactly sure what day it was. Thursday, I believe. Yes, the 22nd. I got to see a picture of the baby yesterday. Those of you who will be back here tomorrow will see a picture of the baby. Now, guess what happens when you see the baby, you see the new parent, and you see the picture of the baby? What else do you hear? The baby was such and such a weight, such and such a length, had this color eyes, this color hair, how much hair they had, all the different things. What did the shepherds say? Oh, they went into Bethlehem and, whoa, look at that, look at all that hair that he has. Mary, how much did he weigh? You know, they never said any of those particular things. What does the scripture say that they made known? They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Well, what was the saying? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That was the most important thing. They went away not saying how wonderful it was to see this baby and how mom's doing and how dad's doing and all these other things. They went away telling people, there's a Savior for you that was born this day. That is life's most important message. Thank you. It really is. Not only did they speak with focus the word that they heard, they spoke with passion. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I made a little joke last Sunday night after the kids' play about how the shepherd, when he was acting out this thing, was doing his thing. That might have been just a tad overdone. Just a tad. But do you think they went away and said to the folks as they went by, I want you to know a Savior was born for you today. I want you to know a Savior was born for you today. Or do you think there was a little bit of emotion that was associated with that? I know there's a time and a place to be technical, to be unemotional about these things. If you're doing a serious theological study, that's the time and place. But when you're talking to people about Jesus Christ and the salvation that he offers, shouldn't there be some passion associated with it? And I think as these people went and they shared the word of God, I think there was a joy, there was an enthusiasm. And when they said Merry Christmas, it wasn't Happy Holidays. It was Merry Christmas. A Savior is born. They evangelized with heart. Well, let me ask you a question. If you were a servant, would these three things characterize your ministry? Do you have a list of people that you would say, maybe it's only a short list, but do you have a list of people that you'd say, I'm never ministering to them again? They didn't even appreciate what I did for them. They didn't even say thank you. They're not very nice. They're difficult people. Well, sheep are difficult. Aren't you glad there were shepherds taking care of the sheep? Aren't you glad there's someone there for you 24/7 when you need help? Shouldn't you be there for them, enduring hardships? How much effort, how much of a priority do you give to the service of God? Well, I'd show up at church on Sunday, but the Steelers are playing this week, aren't they? It's interesting that you would show up here tonight. But the game is not until, what? 4:30. You have no excuse. But it doesn't matter if the game is at 1 o'clock or at 9 o'clock. You still have no excuse. If the worship of God is not important than the watching of football, something is amiss. Well, I'll get to whatever it is that God wants me to do when I get around to it. And I know I should tell so-and-so about Christ. I'll tell you what, I'll just send them a tract. Now, please don't misunderstand. I am not against sending tracts to people. Sometimes people that are at a distance, that's the best thing that you can do. But how much emotion is contained in a piece of paper? Zippo. We need to be servants. And it may be a lowly profession, but in the eyes of God, nothing is more important than serving Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these men that endured hardships on the side of a hill, keeping watch over their flocks by night. A lowly job, a seemingly unrewarding job, a job with no real benefits, no social status, no political significance, no monetary advancement. And yet a job that was highly important in the incarnation of the Son of God. Thank you for men that came with haste and then went with haste to share the good news that a Savior was born in Bethlehem, who would go to Calvary. And Father, I pray that if there's one here tonight who does not know that Savior, that tonight might be the time of their salvation. Encourage us with these thoughts tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we get to the final hymn, let me say one other thing. It is impossible to serve like a shepherd until you know the chief shepherd. That's where the instructions come from. If you do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, everything that I said tonight practically is of little value because you can't serve Him. You're not employed by Him. But He offers you salvation tonight. And if you need to come to Christ, see me after the service. I'd love to show you how you can know that you have eternal life. Patrick, come lead us in our closing hymn.